Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. You are worthy, my Father God. Oh, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of Exodus chapter 5. 105, say amen. And the word of God says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord God of Israel said, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Amen. Now, we just read in the word of God in Exodus, of course, it says here that, of course, the word of God says in Exodus chapter 5, that afterwards Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they said, this said the Lord, God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold the festival and to me in the wilderness. Now, right there, of course, the book of Exodus in itself is incredible. Of course, the book of Exodus explains, of course, how God came and delivered his people. It explains that we serve a God who's not just a God who is over us and a God who is just up there watching down on us, but we serve a God who is real. We serve a God that when we call upon him and when we seek him in righteousness, that he shows up. We serve a God that he knows us show up, and he just tells us he shows up. He brings the spiritual to the physical. God shows up and does wonders, he does signs. God shows up, and he always shows up on time. Amen? So the book of Exodus was incredible in the sense of it showed that God rescued his people from Pharaoh. He rescued his people from Egypt. Amen? Now, of course, it says here that God called Israel out of Egypt, and he called them to him, he called them to meet him in the wilderness. Now, God, of course, I said this, I read this before numerous times in the past, but it never stood out to me till now, that God called them out of Egypt to meet him in the wilderness. Now, God called them out of Egypt to meet him in the wilderness. They were going through their situations in Egypt. Their problems were in Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. But God did not say, I'm going to meet you in Egypt. He said, I want you to come out of Egypt. Amen? He said, I want you to come out of Egypt and meet me in the wilderness. Amen? So God said, I want you to come out and meet me in the wilderness. And when you meet me in the wilderness, of course, he said, I'm going to liberate you with myself. I want you to come out and meet me in my presence in the wilderness. So, of course, God is saying, I want you to come out of your mess and meet me in the wilderness. Meet me outside of your mess so I can liberate you, so I could give you what I have in store for you. So how many of you know that God wants you to get out of your mess so that he can restore unto you himself? Amen? So sometimes we are in our mess and we want God to show up in our mess and we want God to rescue us in our mess. When God showed the example here with the Israelites, with his chosen people, he said, I called my chosen people, I called you out of your mess. I called you out of your bondage into the wilderness where I am so you can meet me and I can liberate you. So God wants us to step out of our mess. God wants us to step out of our situations. He wants us to step out of our problems. He wants us to step out of whatever we're dealing with. God is saying, if I'm calling you out, that means you must have something in you to step away from it. Because he wouldn't be calling you out of it if you couldn't come out of it. But God is calling us out of our situations. He's calling us out of our problems. He's calling us out of it because he wants to liberate us where he is. And God is saying, I'm calling you out because whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, cannot be in my presence. So on your way out, whatever you're dealing with has to leave you. How many of you understand that? Amen? So the thing is now, God also is saying, you know what, he's calling his people out to liberate him. He's calling his people out, amen, to renew him, to give him something. But God is saying, when I set you free, I don't just want you to come out. I don't want you just to come out and meet me in the wilderness. It says here in verse 1 also, he says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. Now, how else? God is saying now, I just don't want you to come out, but I want you to hold a festival. In other words, God is saying, I want you to come out and I want you to praise me in the wilderness. So how many of you know God wants you not just to come out of your situation, but he wants you to come out and praise him in the wilderness. He's not going to let you not fall into whatever situation you're in so that way you could go and throw a party to say, you know what, thank God, you know, I didn't whatever go to jail. Thank God I didn't, you know, go to court. Thank God I didn't this, that, and the X. I'm going to throw a party. God is saying that's not why I called you out. God is saying I'm calling you out because I want you to come out, but I also want you to come out and praise me. So in other words, God is not calling you out for yourself. God is saying, I'm going to rescue you from your situation for me. I'm going to pull you out of whatever you're dealing with, whether it's financially, whether it's physically, whatever it's mentally. I'm pulling you out for myself. And until you come out, see, a lot of times we get rescued, amen, but we fail to understand why is it that we so quickly fall back. Because when we come out, we never come out and do what God said to do. God said, come out and praise me. Come out and give me the praise with your lips. God said, that's why I pulled you out. That's why I saved you. So you could honor me and you could praise me. You could hold a festival in your life for me. And we come out, we say, thank you, Lord, and that's it. We don't praise him. We don't give him what he deserved. We don't honor him. Amen? And because we don't come out and we don't praise God, and not just praise God with us just once in a while, God means praise me forever, because I want you to come out and do this every single day for the rest of your life. Even when you come meet me, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be praising me. And that's the problem. We come out and we don't have that praise. We come out and we're happy we're out, but we don't have that praise. Now, of course, when you come out of your mess, it's nothing wrong with coming to church. It's great to come to church. Nothing at all. I love coming to church when I make it here. Amen? Wish I could come here more. Amen? But just coming to church, speaking to myself, just coming to church is not going to cut it. God is saying you just coming to church is not going to get you in my presence. You coming to church is not going to get you in heaven. You coming to church is not going to get you where I need you to be. See, the devil's okay with you coming to church. He's happy with you going to church as long as you're not seeking God. He's happy for you to dress up and get here as long as you're not really trying to get to know God, because you're no threat to him. Amen? But when you come to church and you actually have a desire to want to get to know God, you want to get to be closer to God, you actually want to be, you know what, God, I really want to get to know you. You want to praise God. You want to receive something from God. That's a big difference. Amen? And that's when you become a threat to the enemy. When you actually come here seeking the face of God. So you can just come here, hear a word, sing a song, and go home. And you're no threat to the enemy, but at the same time, you're so far from God, and you're not going to be where he is. And then we wonder, well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to church. I'm not going to the club anymore. Why is it nothing's happening? Why is it things are still, you know? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you won't have trials and tribulations, but God is always going to give you a way out. Amen? When you seek God and you actually seek his face, when you actually want to get to know God, when you want to get to be closer to God, not just through your words, but through your deeds, then God is going to give you something. God's going to give you a way out. Because when we serve God, when you get in his presence and you get liberated and you get free from being in his presence, you now have a hope. You actually, you know, just the fact of coming to God in itself is by faith. How many of you know that? We come to God by faith because according to the word of God, from my knowledge, have ever seen God. So we come to God by faith every single time, believing that he is real, believing that he will save us, believing that he will deliver us, and he will do what he said he will do. Amen? Amen? But God's desire for us, whenever he pulls us out of our situation, whenever he asks us to step out of our mess, and we do step out of it, he desire for us to grow in a closer relationship with him. Amen? He desire for us to get in a closer, deeper relationship with him every single time. Amen? See, the reason why he wants us to get in that deeper relationship, because God is trying to pull us into a different world. He's trying to pull us into a different realm that we're not used to. Now, you see, when you get to that place, unless you have experienced it, you probably would look at me like, what are you talking about? See, the thing is, when you get to a place in God that when you start praising God and you realize and you feel like you're not alone while you're praising God, that's because the spiritual realm is starting to manifest itself around you. Now, how many of you know that God is calling you to a different place? Amen? God is calling you to a different place where he is. Because God, of course, is not of this world. How many of you know that? Amen? Now, in order to be closer to God, you have to go where he is. How many of you know that? And the more you draw closer to God, the closer he will draw to you. Amen? Of course, Matthew 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God is saying, if you seek me and if you truly want to get to know me, amen, and you seek me through righteousness, through my word, you will be filled. Amen? Now, like I said before, God desires for us to have that relationship with him. God desires for us to be closer to him every time that, like I said, every time we go in his presence, is because God says, I'm actually bringing my presence to you because God wants to be close to us. That's why we experience his presence, because he genuinely wants to be close to us. So when we worship God, God is saying, when you worship me, I will draw to you when you worship him in spirit and in truth. How many of you know that? So like I said, God is calling us. He's calling us out of our mess. He's calling us out of our situation, which means there is nothing that we're going through right now that we cannot get out of. God is saying, you have to step away from it. You have to step out of it. And when you step out of it, you're going to step into my presence. And when you step into my presence, there I will be able to liberate you. There I will be able to give you things that you don't know about. There I will be able to bless you with things that you probably wouldn't even think about and dream about. Because God already has in store for us, amen, the things that he desired for us, because they were already here before we even came. Small testimony of myself, even before I actually got saved, really got saved and experienced the presence of God. Amen. I was working at a job that I thought was really good. I thought this was the best job I ever had. I thought this was a job that I always wanted to be at. Couldn't imagine being anywhere else. But at the same time, there's a lifestyle that came with that job. I didn't even know God because I was at that job. And, you know, my mother's here. She'll tell you, when I was working there, I spent more time at work than even at home. I lived at this job because I thought this job was it. You understand? And I didn't even know God personally until one. And I tell you, I'm not going to say I knew it was him because I didn't know him. But somewhere towards a week before I left that job, I was at work and I started feeling really uncomfortable. Didn't know why. I was at work. I'm like, what is going on? Today feels different than any other day. My coworkers I had no interest to even hang out with them that day. The next day, my bosses sound very irritated to me. Everything they kept saying to me didn't make sense to me. Everything just seemed to be a problem. And everything that was probably not a big deal a month ago, a week ago, was a big problem now this week. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stay at this job, why this job was coming all of a sudden becoming irritated to me. It got to the point where I left my office and I was standing outside the office building on the grass, because there's a grass by the parking lot, on my cell phone, making phone calls to my clients because I couldn't stand even being in the office. Make a long story short, a couple of days later, I just quit and I left. Didn't even know why I walked away from this job. I went through maybe a whole process just to get the job. And in a matter of days, I walked away from it. Didn't even know why. Didn't have a backup. Didn't know where I was going. I just walked away. Didn't have a clue. Like I said, I didn't know God at the time, so I'm not going to say it was God because I didn't know it was him. So I just said to myself, what's going on? I was just like confused. All I know is I didn't want to be there. So I left, and maybe for a couple of days after, I was just like, maybe actually a month after, I was just in a place where I was just there. I was like, you know what? I was killing myself for X amount of years. I'm just going to relax for like the next month and do nothing. And I was just every day going back and forth. I was in the city. I was hanging out, reading. I was just being me. I don't know what I was doing. And thank God for who he is. I didn't know that he was setting me up at the time. I didn't know that he needed me to leave my job and leave all my influences and leave all my coworkers and leave everything that I thought was so great. I didn't know that he was trying to get me to walk away from it, because he knew that when he showed up, he knew that he didn't want nothing around me to distract me or to confuse me, that I was going to know that it was him. And he came and met me one day, one night, hanging out with my worldly friend, and used my worldly friend to speak to me about him. And that's how, you know, God is so awesome, but he needed me. And I said, now, in hindsight, I'm like, God needed me to leave. He needed me to walk out of my mess. And God is saying, you know what, if you had stayed there, you would have said, you know what, all right, I know God is real, but, you know, this is a career. Like, I'm going to throw away all this money. Maybe I could do both. And God said, no, you couldn't do both. I need you to walk away. Amen. And since I didn't know him, even more so, more or less, I definitely would have not chosen him. Amen. But what I'm saying is that God needs to step out of our mess. God needs to step out of our situations. And what I'm saying also is the fact that I didn't know him. Even if I did know him, come to say I would be like some Christians today that know God and we're in our mess and we're saying, you know what, God, I know I'm here, but I need this, so I'm going to try and keep you in this. So God is saying, if I ask you to leave your mess, why are you still in it? Why are you calling upon me to do something that you could do yourself? Why are you calling upon me to get you out of your job when you could open the door and say goodbye and walk out? Of course, if he tells you to. Amen? So a lot of times we're still in our situations because we refuse to let go. Amen? For you see, God is calling his people to greatness. He's calling us to higher. He's calling us to be the head and not the tail. He's calling us to be leaders. Amen? So a lot of times we lose track. And I'm saying we because I'm guilty of it myself. Amen? We lose track. Amen? Now, also, you know, back to the fact that we should be praising God and how praise is not something we do occasionally, something we do once in a while. God is saying praise is something you do all the time. Praise is something you have to do in me all the time. Amen? Now, praise draws the presence of God. Praise is to the New Testament what sacrifice was to the Old Testament. Amen? So praise in the New Testament is a sacrifice to God. How many of you know that? Amen? It says in Psalms 22, verse 3, says that God inhibits the praises of his people. So when God's people praise him, he draws near and he worships as a result, of course. Amen? So when we praise God, God draws near to us. Amen? Amen? And how many of you know that when you worship God, you're never worshiping God by yourself anyway? Even if you're in an empty room or empty house, how many of you know that you're never worshiping God by yourself? How many of you know that? Amen? When you're worshiping God, amen, you guys have to remember, if you read the Word of God, that God is being worshiped 24/7 anyway. He has angels, amen? He has cherubims. He's being worshiped 24/7 all the time, amen? So what we're actually doing, we're actually coming alongside, amen, the angels. We're coming alongside, amen, and worshiping God. How many of you know that? God is awesome. He is incredible. Amen? Now, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, of course, God gave Isaiah a vision, and he saw the Holy of Holies. And it says here in chapter 6, I'm going to quickly read verse 1 to 4. And it says, in the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Amen? So now picture what happens in the Holy of Holies. Well, what's happening in the Holy of Holies. Amen? We have cherubims, we have angels. They're praising God. And what's awesome is that not only are they praising God, but it says here in the midst of praising God and saying, professing how holy he is, the temple shook. Things are going to move when you praise God. Amen? Things are going to move when you praise God. God is saying that when you praise me, I'm going to move things that don't look like they're not going anywhere. God is saying when you praise me, I'm going to move things out of your way that seems like they've been stuck there for a long time. Amen? We got to praise God. Because this is already happening. It's happening right now. And God is saying as you praise me, I'm going to move your job situation. I'm going to move your finances. I'm going to move the problems. I'm going to move whatever you're dealing with. Because in the midst of you praising me, amen, my spirit is going to show up and it's going to move. Amen? Because that's the God we serve. And you know what's awesome? Somebody said a while ago that when you read the Word of God and you read about how to describe the Holy of Holies, there's no chairs in the Holy of Holies. So in other words, we ought to be praising God all the time. There's no time to sit down and say, you know, all right, I did my 10 minutes. I did my 20 minutes. God is saying, I want you to praise me all the time. And that when you praise me all the time, I'm going to show up all the time. Amen? And he's going to show up in your situations. He's going to show up in whatever you're dealing with. Amen? That's the God we serve. And like I said before, God wants to show up. He wants to show up in your situations. He wants to show up in whatever you're dealing with. But he's requiring, of course, that two things. You step out of your situation and you step into his presence with praise. God is saying, I need you to step out of your situation because I'm calling you to me. I'm calling you to a higher place, but I'm also calling you here, and I need you to praise me. Amen? Now, I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews. There's something significant also about the Israelites. Now, the Israelites, when they were, of course, told to come out, they had already had in their mind had a vision of where they were going to go. And a vision of where they want to go, more or less, should I say, was not a nice place. And it says here in the book of Hebrews that in verse 18, it says, you have not come out of, but God spoke to them. God spoke to the Israelites saying that you have not come out of the mountain that you can be, you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm. This is verse 18, by the way. It says here, and verse 19 goes on to say, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word to be spoken of them because they could not bear what was commanded. And it goes on and says, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. And the sight was terrified that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. So pretty much what it says here, God is saying that the Israelites had envisioned that they were coming to a mountain when they leave Israel. When they leave Egypt, they were coming to a mountain that was torched with fire, and not even an animal could touch it, otherwise it would die. And pretty much they left Egypt, amen, thinking that they're going to go to this mountain, thinking that, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen when we get there, but we're going to go to this mountain. So they left Egypt not thinking that they're going to be going to paradise. They stepped out on that level of faith where they said, we're about to go to a place that we don't even know if we're going to survive when we get there. That's the level of faith that they had when they stepped out of Egypt. They stepped out of Egypt thinking that they was going to go to a mountain, and then by the God's voice alone, they were all going to be shaken right down to Moses. That no one would be, everyone would be terrified. They were like, we're about to go to the unknown. We're going to a place where we can't touch, we can't speak. We about to be terrified by just the voice of God. They left Egypt not thinking that they were going to go to lay out by the beach. They left Egypt thinking that we're going to go to a place where we're going to be terrified and we don't know what's about to happen. That's the level of faith they left Egypt with. Amen? So we have to understand the level of faith that we need to have when God calls us out of our situation. He's saying that, and of course, when they got there, of course, that's not what they got there. When they got there, God said, this is what you expected. But in verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to a thousand upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, the church of the firstborn whose name was written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Look what they came to. And God is saying, when you step out of your problems and you step out of your situations as he calls you and you step into his presence, amen, and you praise him in his presence, you're stepping into Mount Zion. You're stepping into all made perfect. You're stepping into the realm with angels. That's why when you praise God and you get to that place where you are praising God, you will experience things where you're going to feel like you're not the only one praising God, because you're not. You're going to experience like, Lord, I know I'm not the only one here because I feel something moving in my spirit, because you know you're not the only one. You know you're surrounded by thousands and thousands of angels praising God. You know you're surrounded by his presence. Amen. You're in a place where all things are made perfect. Amen. How many of you know that? This is what God is calling us to. And this is in his presence. This he wants us to experience now, here on earth, while we are still alive. Not later on. But for too long, we're walking around thinking and debating And we're saying, you know what, you know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, I'm not sure. But God is saying, I'm calling you to a higher place. What was also interesting to me was, it says that when the Israelites went to Pharaoh and they said, we need to praise God, Pharaoh increased their workload. And it's funny that the enemy moves the same way amongst us. When we truly decide, or we make up in our mind and our hearts, you know what? I'm going to praise God. I'm going to make it to church. I'm going to make it to this event, to that, whatever the case may be. The enemy wants to show up and increase your workload. Amen? And all of a sudden, we're dealing with things that we never dealt with before. All of a sudden now, we're getting schedules we never wanted. We're getting shifts we never wanted. We're getting problems from people we never thought we was going to get it from. Things are just coming from all over. The enemy's saying, oh, what? You want to praise God? Because he knows that in your praise, he has to leave. He knows when you start praising God, that whatever bondage, whatever he has upon your life has to leave. Amen? So when you make up your mind to serve God, the enemy's saying, Pharaoh's saying, you know what? I got to increase their workload. I can't let them praise God. Because if they praise God, something's going to happen. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. If they praise God, something's going to happen. So the enemy wants to increase your workload when you decide you want to serve God. But God is saying, all I ask of you is to step out of your mess and step into my presence. Because in my presence, whatever you're dealing with cannot follow you in here. Whatever situation you're dealing with cannot follow you into my presence. And it depends on how badly you want to get close to God. If you want to get to him badly enough, it doesn't really matter what you're dealing with. It cannot follow you into the presence of God. Because God said, in my presence is perfection. Amen? How many of you know that? And God is calling us into his presence with praises. He's saying, come out and praise me. He's saying, have that relationship with me where you're praising me all the time. You're praising me at work. You're praising me at school. You're praising me on the train, on the bus. You're praising me for no reason. Because God is saying, that's the type of relationship I want to have with you. Because when you praise me and you get closer to me, what's going to happen is God's going to renew your mind. He's going to show you things you never thought you would see. He will give you understanding and wisdom that only could come from him and his word. And that's why we stay in the same place for so long, because our mind has not been renewed. We have not gained any kind of new wisdom, so we're stuck doing the same old things all the time. And God is saying, I want to renew your mind. And it's funny, the word of God says, seek him daily, he will give you fresh manner daily, he will renew your mind daily. So God want to give you wisdom daily. He want to bless you daily. He want to give you daily. He want to make you a new person daily. He wants you to show up on your job a new person daily, with a new mindset, not trapped with the mess of yesterday. Forget last week. God is saying, not of yesterday. Amen? Because there are things that happened yesterday that may not have been pleasing to God, but God said, let me renew your mind. When you seek me, I will renew it. So that tomorrow, you are going to look at that mess and you're going to tell it to leave. Amen? That's the God we serve. And we have to understand that God is calling us out. God wants to give us something that we cannot acquire on our own. But God is saying, when I pull you out of your mess, don't do like you did the other 1,000 times before. This time I need you to praise me. This time I want you to give me praises. God is saying, praise me, praise me, praise me. Amen? See, the thing is, sometimes we have to often understand, and sometimes we get confused and we say, you know what? Again, I'm speaking to myself. You know, yes, I know I have to work. And yeah, we have to work. We got to work. We got to work. We got to work. God is saying, but in the midst of you working, my word also states that, you know, I want to bless you. So we sometimes need to remember that. You say, well, the word of God says we got to work. But the word of God says you got to bless me. But then, of course, I read over in awesome. God's word is awesome. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 says here in verses 1 and verses 1 and 2. It says here, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What I'm saying is that, Word of God saying, of course you have to work, but Adam, when he sinned in the garden, was subjected to the law of sin and death. Now, the Word of God says it in Romans that when Jesus came, if you accept him, we're now subjected to the law of sin and death. How many of you understand that? Because if you're not subjected to the law of sin and death, you now have a new freedom that you only acquire through Christ. Do you understand that? Which means that in order for you to gain in this life, it's not for you to work 1,000 hours, but it's for you to seek God in prayer and in praise, amen, and he will bless you. How many of you understand that? How many of you understand that? Amen? But God wants us to get to that place where we're seeking him and we're including him in everything that we do. All our decisions, everything that we do, every single part of our day. God's saying, put me, include me, let me be. Because if you're living for me, I have to be in every decision you're making. Otherwise, I don't see how you're living for me. So, well, if we stop and we evaluate ourselves, do we really say, Lord, do you want me to do this? Or do we just do it? I would find myself guilty of that. Because God is saying, if you're living for me, ask yourself, how much of your life decisions do you include me in? So God is saying, I'm going to glorify whatever you glorify me with. So how are you glorifying God with anything if you're not including God in anything? How we expect God to bless us? How we expect to enjoy walking in his presence? How we expect to even experience, just enjoy God, period. If we're not seeking him, if we're not including, if we're not living for God. Amen? But God is awesome, though. We serve an incredible God, an incredible God. Now, we also, like I said before, we have to understand the significance when God said he needs us to get into his presence, but he also wants us to praise him. Amen? Because God wants us to praise him because there's a freedom that comes in his presence. Amen? And when we praise God, his presence show up, and there's a freedom that comes in his presence. How many of you know that the Bible speaks of a presence that speaks of freedom that comes in the presence of God? Amen? Now, those of you who have not experienced that freedom, amen, God wants you to experience that freedom. God wants you to get in his presence and feel like there's nothing that is holding you down. There's nothing, no form of depression, no form of problems, no form of worries, no form of finances. The place where, you know what, there may be situations going on, but you're not going to be stressed out because you know what? You know the God you serve. You know that he brought me this far. You know that he's not going to leave me now. You know that the God has, he did it for me yesterday. He did it for me last year. He's going to do it for me today. God is unchanging and he's also unfailing. Amen. That's the God we serve. God is calling us to take a step of faith. God is saying, take a step of faith. I want you to step out of your trouble. I want you to step out of your Egypt. I want you to step out of your problems. Take a step of faith. Release whatever you're dealing with in my hands and walk towards me. Now, that's the God we serve. We serve an incredible God. Now, two things before as I get ready to close. In the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37, 38, it says here, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus is saying, he who thirsts, come to me and drink. He also said right after that, he that believes on me, and as the scripture, out of his belly shall flowing of living water come. And two things. One, I didn't know the answer. Well, I read it, but I did really, honestly speaking, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't know the answer until I had to, like, go back. How did Pharaoh die? Anybody knows? He drowned. So what I'm saying is that out of your belly comes living water. Christ is saying that not only you could come to me and drink, but I want, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, amen, it says here in scripture that he says, your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It shall come out of you. It shall pour not just out of you, but it's going to pour into your situation. It's going to pour out, amen, into your circumstances. It's going to pour out living water. Amen? So he not only saying, come to me and drink if you're thirsty, but he's saying that I'm also, the Holy Spirit is also going to fall upon you, and he's going to use you to pour out living water also into your situation. So into situations that you thought was going nowhere, into situations you thought that was dead, into situations you thought that was, you know what, I've been dealing with this for too long. Now living water is going to show up. When you seek after God, when you seek his face, when you go after him, now living water is going to show up. Amen? And when living water shows up, the Spirit of God is going to overflow. It's going to take over. And whatever you're dealing with, amen, the living water is going to consume it. You're now going to be, what, like a revenue for the Holy Spirit. You're now going to be, amen, a gateway for the Holy Spirit to move. So in other words, what I'm saying is that you need to be in a place where God calls you to be. God is saying, I need you to get out of your mess. I need you to step out of your situations. I need you to take a step of faith. At the same time, when you arrive out of your mess, know that you're coming unto me. You're coming unto God. Yes, you may say to yourself, Lord, I know you want me to do X, Y, and Z, but I really don't know how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that, how I'm going to take care of this, how I'm going to get this done if you ask me to walk away from that. God is saying, know who you're coming on to. Know who you're coming to. You're coming to God. You're coming to everything. You're coming to the Creator. You're coming to the person that makes things new. You're coming to the Savior. You're coming to a safe place. Amen? That's what God is saying. I'm calling you to greatness. Because that's what he's calling us to himself. I'm calling you to greatness. Amen? So how many of you know that all it takes for you is to take a step of faith? If you want to achieve what you want to achieve in this life, if you want to be in a different place, if you want to serve God the way you want to serve God, take a step of faith. And God is calling you out of your mess. He's calling you out of your situations, but he's saying, I want you to come and put a new praise in your mouth. Put a new praise in your mouth. I want you to experience me, experience your God, but I want you to come with a praise in your mouth. So what I'm saying to you right now is God wants us, amen, he wants us to evaluate ourselves and say, you know what, Lord, have I really came to you with the praise I should have came to you with? Was I grateful in my praise that I've been praising you with? Have I truly lived a life of praise unto you? Because that's what he requires of us. Everything that God is going to use us to do, everything God is going to do through us, it's all him. It's never us. But one thing he does require, he requires that we praise him. He requires that we praise him in spirit and in truth. Amen. He requires that we honor him with praise. Amen? How many of you understand that? There's something powerful about praise. We have to understand how powerful praise is. Because God says here in Psalms that when we praise God, he draws to our praise, his presence. So how awesome is that? You just praise him, and it's his nature to show up. It's his nature to show up. You don't have to figure out, Lord, it's not rocket science how to get into the presence of God. Yes, we serve an awesome God that's beyond our understanding. His ways are beyond our ways, but he never made it so that we do not understand how to get in his presence. He never made it so that we don't understand how to get close to him. The very God that from beginning of time been wanting to get close to us. Amen. So at this time, like I said, at this time, the altar is open for anyone who feels like they want God to increase their praise. The altar is open for anyone who feels like they want God to get them to a different place in their worship relationship with him, in their praise relationship with him. God is saying, I'm calling you unto myself, but I'm calling you unto myself to praise me. And he's saying in the midst of his praise, that he is going to show up, that he is going to make things new, that his presence is going to draw closer to you. He desires for us to draw closer to him. He desires for us to do things, amen, his way. And his way, according to his word, is not difficult. God is saying, just obey what I ask you to do. He said, I laid the example in the beginning of time. He said, I've been drawing myself closer to you. But God is saying right now, he wants us to have a new praise. He wants us to praise him in a different way, in a new way. God is saying he wants us to praise him in a new relationship. But God is saying, I will draw close to you as you praise me. Everything that you desire, everything that you've been asking for, God says, I know your heart, but he said at the same time, all I ask of you is to praise me. I ask you just to praise me. That's all I desire, is for you to praise me. He said, don't be like everyone else. He said, I'll have mercy upon you, but he's saying, as you experience my mercy, just give me the praise, give me the honor. Glorify me in the midst. Glorify me even after you're out. Glorify me. That's why we have to praise him at all times. Not just when we're in the midst of everything, but also when we get out. That's why God said, in the midst, we praise him. In the midst, we seek him. In the midst, we're always going after God. But when we get out, all that comes to an end or dies down. And that was one of our biggest problems. That when we get out, that we have to seek him even more than when we was in our situation. We have to praise him even greater than when we was in our situation. Because before, we wasn't in his presence. But once you get out, you're in his presence. So how much more should you praise him? How much more should you seek him? Because before, you had something hindering you from getting close to him. But now you don't have the hindrance. So how much more should you want to be close to God?